Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagwan. Purport. The absolute truth is both subject and object, and there is no qualitative difference there. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagwan are qualitatively one and the same. The same substance is realized as impersonal Brahman by the students of the Upanishads, as localized Paramatma by the Hiranyagarbhas or the yogis, and as Bhagwan by the devotees. In other words, Bhagwan, or the personality of Godhead, is the last word of the absolute truth. Paramatma is the partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and impersonal Brahman is the glowing effulgence of the personality of Godhead, as the sun rays are to the sun god. Less intelligent students of either of the above schools sometimes argue in favor of their own perspective realization, but those who are perfect seers of the absolute truth know well that the above three features of the one absolute truth are different perspective views seen from different angles of vision. As it is explained in the first shloka of the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, the supreme truth is self-sufficient, cognizant, and free from the illusion of relativity. In the relative world, the knower is different from the known. But in the absolute truth, both the knower and the known are one and the same thing. In the relative world, the knower is the same, In the relative world, the knower is the living spirit or superior energy, whereas the known is inert matter or inferior energy. Therefore, there is a duality of inferior and superior energy, whereas in the absolute realm, both the knower and the known are of the same superior energy. There are three kinds of energies of the supreme energetic. There is no difference between the energy and the energetic, but there is a difference of quality of energies. The absolute realm and the living entities are of the same superior energy, but the material world is inferior energy. The living being in contact with the inferior energy is illusioned, thinking he belongs to the inferior energy. Therefore, there is a sense of relativity in the material world. In the absolute truth, there is no such sense of difference between the knower and the known, and therefore everything there is absolute. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Hare Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Charu Swami Nidhi Namine. So, a very important verse from a very important chapter. This chapter 2 begins with Sutta Goswami appreciating the questions by the sages at Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi. And the questions, just as a reminder, basically was that what is the duty, what is the role, what is the function of the human beings, what should be the best activity? And so the Goswami was very pleased with this question, and he begins the early verses up to the one that was discussed yesterday about what is the duty of one of the living entity in the human form of life. So the last two verses explain that, well, before that actually, that they said that the duty of the supreme of the living entity is to try and understand the supreme. And the last two verses were focused on the what not to do, what the living entity is not supposed to do. And that is not to live the life for sense gratification. The last two verses were very, very firmly spoken about how the human life is not meant just for sense gratification. As we know, most of society these days has no clue about these truths and are living life just, as Prabhupada would say, called cats and dogs, living life just for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But here, Sudha Goswami is making clear that the whole purpose of the human life is to try and understand the absolute truth. And the last verse actually ends there. It says, the human life should be spent to try to understand the absolute truth. And the purport of the last verse, Prabhupada said, okay, now the next verse will explain this. So this verse, very important, explaining about what is the absolute truth. This chapter as a whole is very, very important. Divinity and divine service. The reason I say it's so important is because when you look at the list of frequently quoted verses by Srila Prabhupada, the top 12 most frequently quoted verses, 8 of them come from this chapter, from chapter 2 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's just amazing. The very first one, of course, is from chapter 1, which is Janmadhyasya Yata. Second one is text 6 of this verse, Savaipam Samparo Dharmo. And that verse was actually quoted. The first one, by the way, was quoted by Srila Prabhupada 731 times in his lectures and talks. The second verse, which Govinda Prabhu explained so nicely last week, was actually repeated by Srila Prabhupada 436 times. And then the third important verse in the list is this current verse, 1.2.11, Vadantita Tattva Vidas, which was cited by Srila Prabhupada 294 times. Then as you go down, verses from this particular chapter are from this chapter is number 17, Shunvatam Svakatha Krishna, number 13, Atha Pumbid Vijayashrestha, number 8, Dharma Swanustha Pumsam, number 10, Prayanas Prayan Alpayusha Sabya, 18, Nashta Prayashu Badarishu, number 10, Kamas and Nendriyas the Pitri, we just heard a couple of days ago, or yesterday actually. And the last one, number 12, was Tadarajas Tamo Bhava. So many verses Srila Prabhupada quoted so frequently in his lecture. So it's a very, very important part of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this verse, the first word is Vadanti. Vadanti means they say. Prabhupada translates that they say. So the question is, who says? They say. So who says is the learned transcendentalists. In the translation, Tattvavida, the learned souls, Tattvavida. Tattva is the truth, Vida is the knower. Tattva Vida. This Tattva word will come over and over again throughout the Bhagavatam, especially in this section. And in the Bhagavad Gita, this is explained as Tattva Darshina, the seers of the truth. Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 34 says, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshyanti Te Jnanam Jnaninas Tattva Darshina. Tattva Darshina. So the important thing here to know is, yes, we need to learn the truth, but we need to approach the tattva-vidas or tattva-darshinas to try and understand the truth. So one must approach a tattva-vida for the knowledge of the absolute truth. If one tries to understand, Srila Prabhupada says this, if one tries to understand the absolute truth by one's own senses and mundane education, he's bound to come to a partial conclusion. So talking about partial conclusions, here in this verse, the absolute truth is realized. And it says that the transcendentalists, the learned transcendentalists, call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Brahman referring to the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence, the all-pervading effulgence. Paramatma is referring to the all-pervading feature of the Supreme Lord, the four-armed feature of Shurdakshai Vishnu, who resides in the milk ocean, in the material world, but he's, at the same time, he is present in the hearts of every living entity, and even in the atom, it is said. So that's the Paramatma feature. And the third feature mentioned in the verse is the Bhagavan feature. Bhagavan feature is the Supreme Personality of God. That's the personal feature of the Supreme Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada explains that just like the sunshine emanates from the sun globe, the sun is situated somewhere in one corner of the universe, and the rays of the sun illuminate all the worlds. So similarly, this Brahma Jyoti is like that. It is the effulgence of the body of Lord Krishna. It's emanating from Lord Krishna, and it is brightening up the whole world. And in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this is confirmed that the Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti, actually is from Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna says in the 14th chapter, I forget the verse, towards the end, he says, Brahmanohi pratisthaham. I am the basis of the Supreme Brahman. So that is one praman about this Brahma Jyoti. The impersonalists consider the Brahma Jyoti to be the all in all. They profess that everything emanates from the Brahma Jyoti, including the Lord. But the Vaishnavas do not agree with this realization. The Vaishnavas, of course, believe in the personal form of the Lord, and this is where there is the difference and constant arguments about the personal and the impersonal realizations of the Lord. The other praman, the other evidence of the fact that this Brahma Jyoti is coming from the Lord is given in the Brahma Jyoti. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koteshvara shesha vasudadi vibhuti bhinnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma here says that I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads. Being differentiated from the infinity of the glories of the mundane universe appears as the invisible, infinite, limitless truth. So, effulgence is Lord Govinda, Lord Krishna, is the source of the effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti. The next realization is Paramatma. So Paramatma, as we explained, it is the all-pervading feature of the Lord. We are all Atmas, but then there is the Paramatma, Paramatma, the topmost living being. We are all living beings, and there is the topmost living being. And he is the super soul, existing and living alongside the Atma soul within everybody's heart and also within the atoms. Srila Prabhupada often quotes this verse from the Katha Upanishad. Nityo nityanam cetanas cetanam nam eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman. So Nitya, Nitya Nam, Nitya, so singular. We are all Nitya, we are all eternal. So Nitya, so but there is singular, the one supreme eternal, and we are all plural. We are all eternals, but amongst, beyond us, there is one supreme eternal. And Chetnas, Chetanam, so we are all cognizant living beings, but there is one supremely confident, cognizant supreme being, being the Paramatma. So he is the supreme eternal amongst the other eternals, and he is the supreme living force amongst the other living force. And then the second part of that verse is Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. So it is explained that that one singular living force is providing and maintaining all the other living entities. So that is Paramatma. So the Bhagwan personality now. So the Bhagwan realization is, Prabhupada says in the purport, that is the last word in the realization of the Absolute Truth. So that is the final realization, complete realization. The other two are said to be partial realization. It is the Absolute Truth, which of course is non-dual, as the verse explains. It's not three different things. It is the same truth seen from different angles. The example can be given. For example, when we were studying technical drawing in school, we would be given an object to draw. So I remember one of the first things that I did at a very young age was a bolt. The teacher put a bolt in front of us, and we had to do drawings of that bolt from different angles. So when you do three different angles of that bolt from different visions, each drawing looks completely different. They actually look like different objects. But we all know that actually that is the same bolt, looking at the bolt from a different angle. So similarly, these three realizations are not that one is not true, and only one is true and the other two are not true. No, all three are realizations, but other two are partial. They're different angles of vision, whereas when we reach the Bhagwan realization, that Śrīla Prabhupāda explains is the complete realization. So Bhagwan, the word Bhagavan, it comes from the root word Bhaga. Bhaga means opulence. So Bhagavan is one, the owner, or the one who has the opulence. So this Van is used many times. Shaktivan, one who has Shakti. Rupavan, somebody who has got the Rup, so very, very pretty. So this Van is the possessor of that particular opulence. So Parasar Muni has explained, he has got many, many opulences, but Parasar Muni has pointed out the six main opulences which Bhagwan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has in complete, in total. And these six are, he's got full beauty, full strength, full fame, full wealth, full knowledge, and full renunciation. We are all part and parcels of the Supreme Lord. But we are all infinitesimal, and we are tiny. And because of us being very small, we also do have these opulences, but in a very, very minute measure. But Bhagwan is the one who has all six of these opulences incomplete, in fullness. And Prabhupada often mentions, nowadays we don't see this so much, but in those days Prabhupada used to say that there are so many so-called Bhagwans around. I haven't met any recently, but I suppose in those days in India, there were many who used to profess to be Bhagavans. And these were generally learned people, maybe even spiritual people, sometimes even misguided by their own followers. Where their followers would start building them up, putting them on a pedestal, and they would start saying to them, "Oh, you are Bhagwan," and then he would start enjoying that status. And suddenly, everybody starts calling him Bhagwan. But Śrīla Prabhupāda says, if he is Bhagwan, ask him if he's got full beauty, if he's got full strength, he's got full fame, he's got wealth, he's got all the wealth in the world, has he got all the knowledge, is he renounced, completely renounced? So these are the measures. Prabhupāda, Bhaktichāra Maharaj once explained that one of the early disciples of Śrīla Prabhupāda in Mumbai, he was the follower of I forget who now, some other sampradaya. And Yahweh won't come to me now. Anyway, he came to Prabhupada. It was very, a lot of questions of someone in the beginning. And he said to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj, the other one that I follow, he says he's Bhagwan. So Prabhupada said to him that Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill on the tip of his left finger for 7 days. So when you see your Guru Maharaj next, you ask him if he can lift a book for 7 minutes on the tip of his left finger. So actually he did. His name is Srinivas Babu. Srinivas Babu actually, he passed away. He became a devotee. And of course, he was a very, very good devotee. He was based in Mumbai, and he helped the movement a lot. And he passed away about, I think, 6 months ago. But he went, Srinivas Babu went to his guru, and he said, Guru Maharaj, this is what Swami Prabhupada has asked me to do. Can you do this? And he says, of course not. This is nonsense. And that was it. That was the last time he met his Guru Maharaj. He came to ISKCON. He joined ISKCON. So, Bhagwan. So, to profess to be Bhagwan, thankfully, it's not so common nowadays. But, of course, it is very, very dangerous. So, these three truths that we spoke about are realized according to one's methods. Either the methodology that you follow to try and understand the supreme truth, or it is the angle or your angle of vision. And it is explained that those who try to understand the supreme truth, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, by studying the Upanishads, so the Gyanis, so their method of trying to understand the supreme truth is just by knowledge, just by reading the Vedas. And it is said that by doing that, one tends to end up in the Brahma Jyoti realization, the Brahman realization. As we said, it's not wrong, but that's where they end up because of their endeavors are that way. And the second type of seeker is one who actually tries to seek the supreme truth by the meditation, yoga method. So yoga, of course, nowadays there's a lot of yoga classes are very, very, very popular in the West, yoga. But the yoga in Sanskrit comes from the word huge, from the root word huge, and it means connect. So actual meaning of yoga is to connect to the Supreme Lord. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sita Ram Lakshma Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Jagat Kula Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So yoga, the schools that people go to, evening classes, it's only a little part of the yoga system actually. The yoga system ultimately is meant to connect one to the Supreme Lord. And there are many, many steps, beginning from yama, niyama, which is basically do's and don'ts. You have to control your activities in a certain way. Then asana. So this is asana is what the current yoga schools focus on, sitting postures and all that. And the next one, which is pranayam, that is the breathing exercises. So these two are prevalent nowadays in these yoga schools where they actually focus on. But then they forget the rest of it. Because after that, you're supposed to proceed to pratyahara, important part of the yogic chart. Pratyahara means to control your senses. And that is, again, the main part. Because if whatever yoga you're trying to practice, if you can't control your senses, you're not going to make progress. You cannot go further. Because once you control your senses, then you go to the next two stages, which is dharana and dhyana. One who has whose mind is not controlled, is unbridled, is not able to, forget about dhyana, he's not even able to focus for 10 minutes. So dhyana is a very, very far thing. And then, of course, the final stage is samadhi. Samadhi is when this yogi is actually seeing the Lord within his heart. So that is the perfection. That is the second type of realization. And the third type, which we all are familiar with, is the Bhagwan realization, which is is achieved by devotional service, by developing a relationship of a kind with the Supreme Lord. So here in the third realization, we actually realize the Lord as He is, and we are able to serve. In the other two, one problem is that to develop a relationship, there's got to be interaction. So when one talks about the Brahma Jyoti, to me it seems like once you reach to that stage, there's no activity. Because you cannot serve brightness or just some light, right? Second is Paramatma. So Paramatma is fine. You realize the Paramatma and you can worship that Lord within your heart in awe and reverence, which is fine. But the reason the Bhagwan realization is the most supreme is because in the Bhagwan realization, we can actually interact with the Lord very intimately. You know, we can actually dress the Lord, His deity, the Vigra form. Archa Vigraha is no different than the Lord Himself. So by serving the Lord, by offering arati to Him, by offering bhoga to Him, by dressing the Lord, by washing, by doing abhishek to the Lord, we are having all these wonderful interactions with the Lord, and thereby we develop a relationship, a bond with the Supreme Lord. So that is Bhagavan realization. So Prabhupada gives various analogies about these three realizations. And the very first one, I'm going to go through all of them because all of them are very, very interesting. Prabhupada gives them in various times. So the very first one is actually on the page, on the December page of the current Mana calendar. And that is about the blind men and the elephant. So there's a group of blind people who are taken to an elephant. They've never, of course, they're blind. They've never seen an elephant. So they said, okay, you touch the elephant and describe the elephant to me. So the first one goes, and he is just touching the side of the elephant. So he's saying something like, oh, elephant is like a gigantic wall. The second blind person goes, and he's actually holding on to one of the legs of the elephant. And he says, oh, I know what an elephant is. Elephant is like a pillar. The third blind person goes and he's grabbing the trunk of the elephant. And he says, oh, I know, elephant is like a big, gigantic python. And the other one, he goes and he happens to touch the tail of the elephant. He says, oh, it's like a snake. So all these are realization. These are all not wrong, but partial realizations of the Lord. The other analogy Prabhupada uses is the train. So some villagers who have never seen a train are taken to a nearby place where there's a train station. And they said, well, you're going to see the train for the first time. So all these villagers are very exciting. They've gone there and they want to quickly see the train and run back and tell their family what they've seen. So the first one, as soon as it's nighttime, the train is approaching. So he sees the light and he says, what is that? And he says, oh, that's a train. Oh yeah, I know what a train is. And he runs back and tells his family, I've seen a train. And train is just like a big light, sometimes with some smoke coming from above it. The second person waits a little bit longer and he sees this snake-like structure coming along. And he says, what is that? Oh, that's a train. And he also runs off and he says, oh, I've seen the train. The train is a light and it is also like a big structure, metal structure, with like a snake. And it's a gigantic snake coming along. That's fine. Then the third one has the patience to stay longer. He waits till the train arrives. He can see the passengers coming off. He can also speak to the driver. And then he goes and he says, this is what the train is. The train is one with a light. It comes along like a big snake. There's got carriages. There are people inside. And there's a train driver who's driving it. And that is the train. So you see, all of them had, but this one was a complete realization of what the train is. And then it is the the sun and the sunlight, which Prabhupada uses again in different ways also, where the sunlight is akin to the Brahma Jyoti, that realization. So when you are in a room and you open the curtains, You would sometimes say, oh, the sun comes into this room. So does the actual sun come into the room? No, it's the sun rays that are coming. But actually, at the same time, you're right. To say the sun coming through the room is also right. It's not wrong. So similarly, the Brahmajyoti realization is not wrong. So the sun, the rays, and the sun globe, which could be then the Paramatma realization, and then the sun god himself, who resides on the sun planet. So that is the complete realization. And then the fourth one he uses is the mountain. So if you're driving somewhere and you see a mountain in a distance, initially, that mountain will just look very hazy. It's just like a cloud, so like cloudy kind of shape. And then, so that you realize that is a mountain as far as, and it is a mountain, of course it's a mountain. As you get closer, then you start to see some trees, you've got some rocks, you've got some formations, so you get a better realization, oh yeah, the mountains actually is built up of mud and rocks and also some trees, perhaps. And then when you get to the mountain and you get quite close up to the mountain, then you can actually see that not only are there trees and rocks and things, but there may be, there's vegetation, there's animals and insects, there's living forces living in the thing, maybe even some people living there. So that is the complete realization. So I was thinking, actually, even in terms of persons, realization, our realization of people is similar, isn't it? When we meet somebody, if I meet Prabhuji at the manor, we cross each other on the corridor. So I know Prabhuji, of course. I know this Prabhuji very well. I don't know his name, but I know him. I see him all the time. So that's my initial realization of that person. Very, very vague. Very vague. But then I get introduced to him. Now then I know his name. And I know what it does. I know his, you know, what service it does. Okay, so I know a little bit more of him, more realization. But then afterwards we get friendly and we start doing things together. We do service together, and we go out and do book distribution together, for example. Then of course I know the person very well, right? So this is personal realizations. And then I was just thinking about also in terms of marital realizations, right? When you meet your partner for the first time, the realization is very superficial, isn't it? We are thinking about, oh, he's a nice person. Everybody is very nice at the beginning, right? He's looking after him very well. Everything's so nice. Everything is good. And then after marriage, you start to live together. Then you start to focus on each other's bad habits. And then you know that person a little bit more. And then after a few years of living together, you really know each other really well. So somebody told me a story. This is a funny story about a couple who just got married, newly married couple. And the wife happens to be a little bit accident prone. So what happens is that when they're walking along, say in India, where the we don't have proper sort of footpaths and things, uneven grounds and everything, so she sort of stumbles and trips over, and this is just soon after the marriage, so everything is still nice and hunky-dory. So the husband goes down on his knees, holds the foot of the woman, of his wife. Are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? Are you hurt? And he starts to massage the foot, and he says, "Shall we go and have an X-ray? Are you sure you're okay?" No, I'm okay, I'm fine. And this is the kind of attention she gets, right? Then a year down the line, a similar thing happens, and she has a fall. And he says, "Be careful, darling, sweetheart, just look where you're going, be careful." Okay, see the tone, the difference. Here's the realization, you know each other much better now, right? And then 5 years down the line, the same thing happens, and what's going to come out of his mouth? Maybe with also some expletives, he's going to say, "Are you blind? Can't you see where you're going?" Right? So here is the person. Okay, this is a very negative way. But of course, this is what I was thinking about. And that also reminded me about something else, about relationships and how they are after a few years. So one lady goes to the doctor, and the doctor is treating her about something else. But then in the notes, he notices that she has a history of having severe headaches. So just by the by, he says, oh, by the way, how's your headache? And she says, he's out of town. So it's coming to 8:30. I just wanted to quickly cover one more important part of the three realizations, that is explained that the absolute truth is known as Sat-Chit Ananda. We all know this phrase. So Sat means eternity, Chit means knowledge, and Ananda is bliss. This is the explanation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the absolute truth. So in today's verse, the context is that the Brahman realization is akin to the eternity portion of the Lord. So the eternity, so this Brahma Jyoti is eternal. It's well spread. It's everywhere, and it is spiritual. So of course it's eternal. And then the Paramatma realization is the knowledge portion of Sat-Chit-Ananda, the Chit portion. The Chit portion, because Paramatma is all-knowing, Paramatma is all-pervading, he's everywhere, he knows everything. So that's the knowledge portion. And the Bhagwan portion is the bliss portion. So once you know the Bhagwan portion, bliss. Krishna Prabhupada explains that once you have the Bhagwan realization, you automatically have the other two. You don't have to separately endeavor to try and understand the other two realizations. Once you have the Bhagwan realization, the other two automatically are there. Prabhupada often says if somebody's got 1,000 rupees, he already has he's already got 10 rupees. He doesn't have to go looking for 10 rupees. Similar, right? So there's a few more things to say, but we've run out of time. So I will end here. Thank you so much for listening to me patiently. And if any comments, any corrections,